going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
I decided at age 43, it was time to freeze my eggs. Then at 46, it was time for IVF, using those eggs and sperm from a sperm bank. You think Bumble is stressful? Try picking sperm. When IVF didn't work, I decided it was time to adopt. I kept telling myself the right baby would find me, but eventually realized leaving Doha could improve my odds of being matched with the baby. And that is exactly what happened. Within 8 months of leaving my dream job and moving home to my parents' studio apartment above the garage in Houston with no job lined up, I met my beautiful baby boy, Avery. The journey is not how I planned it, but I wouldn't change a thing.
That's award-winning former CNN and Al Jazeera news anchor, Rachelle Carey. In a TikTok video, she shared her journey from well-traveled journalist to single mom. Her story, once again, raising questions that women have been asking and asked for decades about career, family, children, decisions, and sacrifice. Well, can they really have it all? And how is that defined? Well, joining us to talk about this is Rachelle Carey and you, the listener. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can X me at HFisher, WHUR, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Rachelle, thank you so much for joining the program.
Hi, Harold. Thank you so much for inviting me. I appreciate the invitation, and I appreciate people giving a platform to topics and issues like this. So thank you, good sir.
I just want to say, so that's what happened to you. I say that because, when I used to watch you on headline news.
Yes.
And my mom watched you, and my dad watched you. You know, because my mom would say, "Oh yeah, there's the pretty girl there." I said, "Yeah, mom, but there's more than just good looks." So you know, she's the whole,
she Carol, said, "Stop,
yeah, stop." Yeah. So and my mother's still around, so I'm definitely going to tell her, "Mom, you remember that lady that you used to like?" Well, I spoke to her today.
Hello. Hopefully, she's listening right now. But if not, tell her I said hello and thank you.
Yeah, she's going to say you didn't tell me on the earlier, so I didn't. She's out probably. But listen, there is so much to unpack about this video and your journey. And we only heard just a part of it. We heard the end part of your journey. And I would also say for those of us who are in the business, it's a minute 30, so you did a package.
But correct. And it was too long to start with. Unfortunately, one of my best friends used to also be my producer, so she's like, give it to me. And she just chop, 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 and got it down to a minute 30.
Exactly. that's inside baseball, people. But before you decided to freeze your eggs, when did you, if you did, wake up and say, oh my goodness, or was this something that you were gradually coming to and at 43 you finally decided to do this?
Okay, I can tell you that I always knew that I wanted to be a mom. It wasn't like a driving thing, like I got to get married, I want to have kids now. It was just always something that I just thought would eventually happen. And when I was in my 30s, actually when I got to CNN, I remember when I first got to Atlanta, I was like, oh, I'm in Black Disneyland. This is when I'm going to meet a great guy, start a family, and everything will be fine. And during that time, I think, during that time, I also connected with a friend of mine who did PR for a very prominent fertility clinic. And she suggested to me, she said, have you ever thought about freezing your eggs? And I was vaguely familiar with it, but it wasn't anything I seriously considered because, you know, like I said, I was in my 30s and I thought I had plenty of time to, you know, meet somebody, start a family. So I was like, oh, you know, great suggestion. But it was also really, really expensive. It's still expensive, but it's not as expensive as it was then. So I just kept thinking, you know, I'll meet somebody, get married, and then it'll happen. And then once I crept past 40, it's, I wouldn't say anxiety, but it did start to weigh more on me. And by that point, I was in New York, and I was working for Al Jazeera and making pretty good money. And I thought, you know what, let's just go ahead and freeze my eggs and try to buy myself a little more time. Now, I want to say freezing your eggs at 43 is not ideal. Obviously, the younger you are when you do it, the better chances you have of actually being able to have a pregnancy. But, you know, it is what it is. So at 43 is when I, that's how I got to freezing my eggs at 43.
You know, in discussing this and debating this with my very talented and very young producer, and there was a lot of back and forth, you know, about this, because she's in her 20s, I am in my 50s, you and I are in that same kind of age group. But what do you believe that this process for you, eventually adopting Avery, and let me say, you picked well. He's a good-looking boy, no question about it.
Oh my gosh, isn't he? Thank you. Oh my gosh, he's just
absolutely. Oh, but yeah, definitely understand that. but is this about, or how would you define having it all for you? Because you gave up the job that many of us in this business dream about, you know, whether it's CNN anchor, ABC News, NBC, you know, the Today Show, Good Morning America. You know, you were in rare air.
It was not easy. And to your point, yes, I realize how blessed I was to have had the career that I have had. It's by no means been perfect. There's been ups and downs. You know, there's been bosses I liked, bosses I didn't like. But overall, I consider myself extremely blessed to have had the career that I've had. And when I was working in Al Jazeera, at this point, I had moved to Al Jazeera in Doha in the Middle East. I really liked it there. I liked my job. I was treated well. I made good money. I did miss my family, and that was some reason I kept telling myself at some point I'm going to have to move home. But when it came time to finally quit, it wasn't easy, only because I knew how rare it was to have jobs like that. And I did not know if or when I would get back in the business, or if I'd even want to. I honestly did not know what the next step was. I just knew that it was time to go home, and I had saved money, and it was just time to do it. Now, the concept of having it all is a really loaded term, because I've heard it said, and I agree with this, I don't know that anybody, what one person considers having it all is not what the other person considers having it all.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
It's different for everybody, and it also can change over the course of your life, depending on what you want, where you are, what your options are, and I'm going to have to say, depending on the privilege you have. I absolutely acknowledge that the choices I was able to make came from a place of privilege. I know that, and I own that, and I know that there's a lot of other men and women that wish they were able to make the kind of choices I did, and I know that. Now, having said that, these still weren't easy choices. I'm still a person. You know, I still have feelings. I still get lonely and all those types of things. Money doesn't solve everything, but I do acknowledge that I was able to lean into being privileged enough to make these types of choices.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking to award-winning former CNN and Al Jazeera news anchor Rochelle Carey. We're talking about decisions about career, family, children, and sacrifice. Can you have it all? How is it defined? If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So you came home, from what I understand, in all of this, I mean, you know, Avery is very young. You are 51. You said it, so I'm sure you don't mind me putting it back out there. But this just happened recently. You moved home during the pandemic, of all things.
I did, and I had actually made the decision to move home before the pandemic happened. I'd actually given my boss, I think I gave him like 6 months notice. Like, I told him, you know, just so you know, I am planning on eventually moving home. So he knew. And then when the pandemic happened is when I was like, yeah, this is absolutely the right decision. Like, it is absolutely time to go home. So, you know, the timing was just kind of fortuitous, but it was already in my plans to move home. And I had actually, when I was in Joha, I had actually already started the adoption process, not with Avery specifically, but I had, you know, started, I'd gotten approved by an agency. I had had my adoption profile submitted to one family in particular. And it didn't end up working out. They didn't end up picking me. And that is kind of what nudged me to say, because at that time, Harold, as you said, you know, the job that I was very lucky to have that job, and I was single. So in my brain, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to adopt my kid in the U.S. and I'm just going to go back to my job in Doha. That was what I thought was going to happen. It always felt a little clunky in my head because I was like, I mean, you know, I make good money here. It's very safe. It's a great place to raise a family. But I also kept thinking, you know, my family is in a whole other country. Is that really going to work? But in my brain, I kept telling myself that was going to work until I finally realized that's not going to work. Particularly being a single mom, you really have to seek out your village. So that was what got me to come back home. And then within about 6 months of being home, that's when I ended up getting matched with Avery.
Yeah. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking to Rochelle Carey about career and family and motherhood later in life and the sacrifices and the decisions that women make to have it all. You know, you said earlier that having it all is really subjective and those things changed. And they can change for a lot of people. How was it defined for you in your 30s, and how has it changed now that you are in your 50s? Yeah, I know. I ask questions that make your head hurt. I know. But
no, that's a good one, though. That's a good one. I mean, I guess probably in my 30s, I would have thought it meant having a husband, having a kid, and having a great job that you love all at once, which is like, what? That's what I would have thought then. Now, I define it as having a wonderful child like I do, being in a position where I am much more in control of what I want my career portfolio to be and the types of gigs I want to do, the types I don't want to do. It may be a combination of things. So I define it more now as having more choices and more control. And that may still include meeting somebody and getting married. And I still want that. I'm not going to say that I don't want that, but it is not, I don't feel like I don't have it all because I don't necessarily have a partner. I feel like me and Avery, we are all. That is all to me right now. And like I said, that may change, but right now I'm very, very content. And I do want to add a bit of breaking news. I actually have moved out of my parents' garage apartment.
Oh, you did move it, because that was going to be my next question.
Yes. But I still live like a 3-minute walk away. But, like, he's over there with them right now while I'm doing this.
Yeah, I mean, and look, you know, it's wonderful to be able to live close to your parents, not not for the baby's sake, but for their sake. Because absolutely, parents are getting older, and we could have an entire show and discussion, as we had before, you know, just on that. And so it becomes an issue about their safety. And, you know, but I often think, and I kind of chuckle about this, because a man, you've gotten a lot of support on social media about it. A man probably would not. Making the, and I'm talking about the whole thing. Quitting his job, being a single father, adoption or otherwise, and then moving with his parents. And he's single. If you said you think Bumble is hard, imagine, you know, trying to pick a sperm donor. You think Bumble is hard, imagine trying to find a woman. And where do you live? With your parents? You know.
But here's the thing. Men, because of the way life and biology and society are, men would almost never find themselves in this position. If a man, I was 48, right? Yeah, I was 48. Well, in fact, I was 49 when I adopted Avery, sorry. A man can decide at 50, I want to have a biological kid of my own and go date a 20-something and do that. The choices, biology drives a lot of the choices that women have to make. So, sure, yeah, a man would, I definitely will give you that it would be different if a man lived at home with his parents, but I will, you know, challenge you with, it's very, very rare that a man would find himself in the situation that I am in with the choices that I have had.
Yeah, and I would always tell the 50-year-old guys to leave the 20-year-old women alone. 202.
I'm glad you said it.
Yeah, I said it.
You know I'm right, Harold. You know I'm right.
You are more right than you know. I've had this conversation with some buddies of mine. Man, what are you doing? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking to Rochelle Carey about children, family, career, having it all, decisions and sacrifice. We will be back in just a bit. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM, channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We'll be back in a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about women, career, family, children, decisions, sacrifice. Can they really have it all? My guest is Rochelle Carey, award-winning former CNN and Al Jazeera news anchor. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We have some calls coming through. We'll take them in just a bit. When you said to your parents, you know, Mom, Dad, I'm coming home. What was their reaction? And the other plans as well, not just, hey, I'm just coming home and I'm showing up with my bags.
They were happy that I was coming home. I'm very lucky that even though I'm an only child, my parents have never pressured me or made me feel guilty that I was always moving around the country chasing jobs. And then eventually even moving out of the country for jobs. They never said, why don't you come home? They never guilted me about that at all, even though I'm sure they would rather I have been closer to home, even though they were proud of me. So I'm trying to think. I remember having the conversation. We were actually out at breakfast when I was home visiting. And I said, you know, I'm going to come home. And this was the part that was hard for them, particularly my mom. My parents' generation could not comprehend you have this great six-figure job and you're just going to leave and you don't have anything lined up. That was hard for them to get, right? And sometimes it's still hard for me to get that I did that, but they just weren't like that. You know, they went to college, they had jobs, they stayed in the same field, the same career, they just couldn't understand walking away from something like that. So while I think they were happy, I know they were happy I came home, they were also worried. You know, and I was like, I'm fine. I've got money lined up. It's okay. Now, to be honest, I think in the back of my mom's brain, she was like, I was about to do something else at that garage apartment, but okay, come on. She didn't say that. But that at the end of the day, yes, they were very happy that I came home, and they could not be happier that Avery is here and that I have not chosen to go back to Doha and chase a job with him. Because, you know, obviously I still could do that. But, well, let me take that back. I could, but I'm not sure that I could. I feel like my parents would probably kidnap Avery and tell me I could just go if I need to go.
Now, and I will ask you this, because you said you just moved out. So tell the truth. Did you move out, or did they kick you out? That's what
that
I
was.
Because I'm sure, look, they were saying, look, we were empty nesters, and now our child is coming back. And now she's got a baby, and you know how, you know, modern parents, I'm not raising your child.
They did not kick me out, no. Okay. However, I do believe they're happy that I am gone, and they have every right to be.
Really?
But it's because they have the best of both worlds. I'm gone, but like I said, Harold, I literally live, like, Avery and I, it's been too hot this summer, but when it's not this hot, we walk over to my parents. Like, that's how close they are. So they have the best of both worlds. They still see him every day. But after school, I drop him by at their house every day for about an hour and a half. So I don't live there, so I'm not in their face with him, but he's just a stone's throw away. So it worked out great.
Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I think this is Carol calling from Baltimore. Is that right?
Yes.
Carol, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Go right ahead. What's on your mind?
Well, congratulations and so much pride in what Michelle Carey has done. I've followed her over the years, her interest in people here in the States, but also her support of strong women who are progressive and making a difference in the world. So congratulations.
Thank you, Carol.
Carol, thank you. Go ahead.
But more importantly, I think that the way that she is sharing with the audience decision-making and transition points in the lives of us as women who are professionals is so, so very important. And the concept of having it all and recognizing that all of it doesn't come at one time. I'm a physician. My perspective is as a physician thinking about how we need to and how we do so often, we meaning black women, need to continue to care for others as we're caretakers, but care for ourselves and have self-compassion and be able to make those decisions that are tough decisions that not even your girlfriends, your family, other people are able to understand and stick with them, but also recognize the value of family. Because at the end of the day, not everyone's the same, you know, skinship isn't kinship, but in general, we need family, and we love family, and we want to be around
Absolutely.
Family for ourselves and for our kids. But you're amazing. That's all.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, first of all. I could listen to you talk all day. Your voice, your words, it's fantastic. Thank you for that. And one reason I keep just, you know, spilling my guts, as I say all the time, is because every time I do, there are women that that it resonates with and that appreciate what I'm saying and say that they can absolutely relate. So I'll keep talking about it till the cows come home. Mm.
Carol, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Roy calling from Fort Washington. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Roy, are you there? Roy, give us a call back. So the other thing that I did want to ask you about, and I think this is probably one of the most important questions as it relates to going through the decision-making process. What sacrifice do you believe that you have made to get to this point?
That's a good question. I think the moving a lot, you know, for my career. I mean, in TV, I've lived in, I think, 6 different cities, and then a whole other country. And I think there were times that made it a little more challenging to when I'm not a shy person, but I'm not a natural extrovert by any stretch. I think the constant moving sometimes allowed me to have an excuse to be in my shell and not really get out and meet people and make connections. And I will admit that probably played into why I was single for so long. Some of it was poor decisions on my part. I will completely, that's a whole other conversation, but
yeah.
I definitely,
I've been thinking about that too, but go ahead.
Oh man. So, and I will own that, but I also think that it was great to have the career I've had, but one of the downsides of the career I had is the constant moving, which makes it difficult to develop, you know, relationships. So I definitely think that's, that is a sacrifice I've made. And then now that I have Avery, I don't really plan on moving. I'm not opposed to it. But now that I have Avery, my calculations are different. You know, somebody could offer me this amazing job in another city, and unless it's millions of dollars, and even then, maybe not. I'm not in a position to chase jobs like I did before.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Exactly. And I think I will say I have you beat by one city. It was seven cities. After college in my television career, 17 years, but never out of the country. And thinking, I don't personally like double standards. But okay. I will say, that's an understatement, I abhor them.
Okay.
But in listening to your story, I was in Kansas City at one point, divorced from my daughter's mother. They moved back to D.C. And you talk about choices and sacrifices. So I had to make a decision. Do I make a few thousand dollars over $250,000 in Seattle? Or do I only take $100,000 and 55 miles away from my child in Baltimore?
Yep.
I chose Baltimore.
Yeah.
Because for me, being the best father that I could did not include being nearly 3,000 miles away from my child.
Yeah.
I
don't want to stereotype, but that is that I don't know that a lot of men would do what you did. And please believe me when I say I'm not stereotyping, because I know great men, great fathers. My dad is exactly like that. But I'm really, I'm so moved and heartened by you publicly talking about making decisions like that. That's not an easy thing to do, because I'm sure you could have convinced yourself, if I go there and I'm making that much more money, then that'll help with college, that'll help with this, that'll help with that. You know, you have to, I'm sure there was a calculation in that, even though it seemed like the easy choice, it's not necessarily the easy choice.
For me, since you're interviewing me now.
I did that.
That's what we do. No, it really wasn't a hard decision for me.
Okay.
First of all, I went to Seattle I'd been there once before, and Seattle is not Atlanta, and I'll just leave that where it is.
I got you.
But again, coming from a great family as well, the importance of having the village and me being part of that village. And now my daughter is 25. I do not regret it. And she's a Howard grad. So, you know, and she's still trying to find her footing beyond that. I hope you're listening, sweetie. We need to talk. But I don't regret that, because you said in the early parts of this conversation that money isn't everything.
Right.
It doesn't hurt.
No, of course not. I think I read something before that once you get, if you have at least your basic needs met, then that's the key. So yeah, we're not saying, you know, obviously if somebody, you know, can't pay their bills, of course money is everything, but we're talking about once you have a situation where at least your basic needs are covered, the other decisions you make aren't necessarily motivated by money. And you're lucky if you're not in a position where your decisions have to be motivated by money. It's nice if your decisions can completely be motivated by family. That's the ideal to me. That's the goal.
Yeah. Are you surprised? Do you think your 30-year-old self would have been surprised by this?
Yes.
Why?
Because I really thought that I would just, I didn't think I had to be intentional about, you know, starting a family and getting married. I'm like, everybody does it. Like, it's just going to happen. I really thought it would just happen. Now, again, I admit I've made some poor decisions, some not so great relationships. So that's a whole other thing to unpack, literally probably with a therapist, because maybe I wasn't being as intentional as I thought I was. But yeah, I never would have thought that, as a matter of fact, I'm an only child. There was a time when I was much younger that I thought I wanted to have like multiple kids. isn't that bananas? That's bananas and crackers. I know. But I did. So no, I never would have pictured this right now. But I am extremely happy, like extremely happy. Now I will admit, there's a little bit of occasional anxiety in there because, you know, as we talked about, you know, at length, I walked away from a great job with nothing else planned. And I don't really want to go back into what I was doing before. So, you know, career transition can be, you know, a little nerve-wracking, particularly when I'm not a natural entrepreneur by nature. I completely admit that. I'm just not.
Few of us are in this business.
Man, I was happy just to get a big fat check, Harold. I was happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a bit of a challenge for me now. But I also realize how very, very lucky I am to have had all this time with Avery while he's so young. I'm extremely blessed to have. So,
Roy is back. Let's see what Roy has to say, calling from Fort Washington. Roy, thanks for calling back. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Harold, I'm listening. Number one, I feel like the question is a loaded question when you say, can women have it all? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you name all these family things and job. And I got three kids, but I'm going to focus directly on my daughter. And like I said, I think the question is a loaded question because it kind of, maybe even offend people and say, can they have it all? Because I don't consider that all. Because I say my daughter's already in the same position that this young lady's in. So, that's the point. Now, the other thing is, my daughter worked contracted jobs. So she had one in Atlanta, and the contract expired, say, in about 5 years. She came back home. You know, and so that was fine. It's not like, mm-hmm. you know, so it's not like a kid coming back home, you got to, you know, take care of him, but you do support this grown lady. Okay, mm-hmm. she landed another contracted job in North Carolina, and the same thing happened. So I loaded up the U-Haul, and she came back home. But for some reason, we make that sound like a negative. And my belief, and I still believe in that, is if you are a solid parent, you should be a safety net for your kids. I don't care if they're 50. You know,
Roy.
And that's a fact. And I'm speaking the truth because I'm focused on my daughter. But my son, my oldest son, came back home also. You know, to transition to the Virginia area. So it's like I got this big old square foot house. Like, why not? Why they cannot come back home? You know, and so I said, I'm focusing on my daughter, and she came back home again. And then she, you know, I don't know how many, maybe 2 years. Then she, you know, she just landed a steady six-figure job here. And now, you know, and she's still single, but she has two kids, and she's bought a home, and she drives, you know, a pretty big van, you know. So I don't see, and I, you know, and you could, I don't want to use the term that she got it all, but she's doing pretty good to me, Roy.
One of the reasons
I just don't like the fact that we think that, you know, once our kids get 18 or they finish college, especially when they finish college, when a kid finish college, everybody says, well, they done graduated college, you know, but they still gotta get a job. You know, so why not come back home? You know, you gotta, you know. I don't get that piece. You know, why not come back home? You're talking about a 22-year-old. You know, I don't even really consider my kids grown now until they're at least 26. So it's like...
Yeah, but let me say this about that, Roy. Let me say a couple. You said something really interesting. You said you don't consider your kids grown until they're at least 26, but this isn't about what you think. This is
okay. I should take that back.
Hold on.
This is about, and that's fine.
But this is about what they want for themselves.
It's about what they want for themselves,
whether they are 26 or 48. Or 49 or 51 or this is about their own destiny, their own plan, their own decisions, their own. And I'm quite sure, you know, when the contract ended, if your daughter was able to find another contract, she probably would not have come home. You know,
let me comment on that one point.
Sure.
When she lost the first contract, I was really impressed with her because she stayed in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. But that told me she had accumulated enough money to live there for 6 months without even calling me or her mom. So I was really impressed.
Yeah, I would say ideally, once you know if you graduate from college or go into the military and you know honorably discharged whatever you want to do. I would say unless there is something highly specific that says you must come home, most people don't. I don't see why not. What do you think? I really don't. I better not tell my mother I'm moving back home.
Harold, let me say another thing.
Yeah, real quick, you know, Roy, real quick, and then we got to go. Go ahead.
Because you know what? They're really not moving back home. They're transitioning.
Everybody thinks they're
just transitioning. And that's why I said I'm going to focus on my daughter. My son did the same thing. And he did it. He actually did it. And he was married with two kids.
Mm.
When he was transitioning from the northern neck of Virginia to northern Virginia with a new job.
Yeah.
So he just came here by himself till he found a townhome, you know, like that. So he was transitioning.
I got it.
Even my daughter came here. I knew she was transitioning.
Okay.
Whether it takes 6 months, 3 months, or 3 years.
And Roy, I think that is the point. There's a difference between moving back home and transitioning. But thank you so much. Rochelle, real quick, you wanted to comment on what Roy was saying.
Ideally, people shouldn't be, you know, falling back up at their parents' house at 50, you know, but I think it all depends on your family, your parents, the finances. I mean, there are some parents that are probably perfectly happy to have their kids come home. There are other parents that aren't. And those parents that don't want their grown kids to move home have every right to feel that way. Every right. And on the other side, there are parents like Roy that are like, come on home, let me help you get to the next thing. And I also think that kind of one thing that's at play too is things are different for this younger generation. I think we've talked about it in this conversation, but in general, it's harder on them. A lot of things
is
harder on them. So,
it really is.
You know, if you're lucky enough to have that support system, then that's wonderful. But again, if you're not that kind of parent that wants that, then, you know, whatever works for your family.
And I think, and you make such an important point because, yeah, I would imagine that if something happened and I needed to move to my mother's house, you know, oh God, just a thought of that is just really, my 9 by 10 foot room and yeah, we're really, no, that, but still, and so I understand under those specific circumstances, but I think Roy made a really good point. You were living with your parents, but I think you weren't really living with your parents.
I had a full studio apartment above the garage in the back. So I literally had, Avery and I had our entirely own space, a separate entrance, a separate gate, my own kitchen. Like I had the best of both worlds. I got to live home with my parents, but not live in the same house as my parents.
Well, that's not what I meant. No, I mean, what I meant was, like Roy said, you were transitioning.
Yes.
You were transitioning. Yes. You were living with your parents. You were living in your parents' house, no matter what the setup was. But you didn't move there with the plan never to move out. You are not, like some trifling brother who lost his job living in the basement playing video games. Okay. You planned, I would imagine, moving out was always the plan.
Yeah, and you actually make a really good point, because I will admit, when I first moved home, there were times I was like a bit embarrassed to say I'm living at home with my parents. And what actually made me change was I had a friend who said this to me. He said, "You moved from a whole other country back to the U.S. He was like, "You're just trying to get out, get everything sorted, like what your next step is going to be." And he was the one who explained to me, "You're just in transition. Like, nobody thinks anything of it when you say it. You're the one that has a hang up about it." And I literally let it go at that moment, literally.
Yeah. You earlier, before we talked to dear old Roy, you said during the career process, you made some really bad relationship decisions. We are talking about, Rochelle Carey, Atlanta, award-winning journalist, gorgeous, articulate. You could get invited to the cookout, the whole bit. You didn't embarrass the family. You knew which fork to use. Were there good or promising relationship situations that just didn't, obviously they didn't work out, but was there some good stuff?
I can think of, I can think of two people that I was set up with that I probably didn't make the best choice and probably should have leaned more into both of them. And both of them are still people that I'm friendly with, but nobody carries a torch for anybody forever. So I can think of a couple. Yes, I am sure. Unfortunately, I'm sure. No, that ship has sailed, and it was totally my fault. But having said that, outside of that, there was a lot of triflingness.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
So is that a word? Yes, I think it is.
I just made it up.
I think it is. Yeah. We've all done, triflingness 101. Some of us have master's degrees in that.
And being a news anchor does not make me immune from, I don't have a force field around me that keeps the trifling people from approaching me.
Absolutely. How do you now balance this personal happiness, this overwhelming joy that you were feeling as a mother, with, I think, the societal expectations of success, because you are still a known commodity. You didn't disappear. You still, as a public person, you still have value.
I'm going to be really honest now that you framed it that way. It's been a little humbling because how do I put this? I thought this career transition would be easier because of what my resume has been.
Mm-hmm.
But what I will say, part of it is that I left CNN in 2013.
Mm.
That's been 10 years. And that is a long time to be out of the American media. So, and the rest of the time, I was doing stuff that was broadcast largely in the rest of the world. So, while I do have things like CNN on my resume, the longer you are removed from things like that, the less value it has. And then you realize, there's a lot of other successful people out there too that have similar resumes. So while I know my personal value, absolutely do, it's just been a little bit more challenging than I expected it to be. I don't know that that's a bad thing. It's really forced me to lean into what it is I want to do, who I want to be, what I want to talk about. But I feel very good talking so much about this particular journey. I actually had a journalist friend who told me, you have to start talking about this. And I was like, what? She said, you are the story. You're not used to it, but you are the story now.
Like I said, you do have value.
Never regretted it. Never once regretted it.
Last question for you. When you have an opportunity to talk to young women, young black women who are just graduating, who want to follow in your professional footsteps, what advice will you tell them about the whole journey? What landmines will you try to get them to not step on, the speed bumps and the like?
Do not put anybody else's ambitions ahead of yours. Do not. Don't follow some young man to another city or to the school he's going to or to the job he's going to. There will be plenty of time when you are older to perhaps have to make sacrifices for a spouse or for a child, but do not do that when you are out of school. You figure out who you are and what you want, and you make that happen, and then all the rest will happen later.
I think I will definitely let that be the last word. Rochelle Carey, thank you so very, very much
for your
transparency. The trip down memory lane.
That was fun.
Yeah, you know, and I was going to tell you at the end, I was going to say, hey, look, tell your parents I said hang in there, but you're already out of the house, so they're good. Thank you so much, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. That is the Daily Drum for this Tuesday, September 19th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.